You mean after 34 years, I still need the gospel? I do. See, growth in the gospel means this. You move from being a mess to knowing you are a mess. In fact, I didn't realize what a mess I was. Is that your experience? You move from being a sinner to an acute awareness of the depth of your corruption, even after 34 years. Am I going to come before God and say, Lord, hear me because I haven't been so selfish? No, hear me for the sake of your righteousness and the gospel. I need it more acutely than when I started. Beloved, David can sleep as he looks all around and see all the reasons God should be against him. All the reasons God should destroy him. And he sees one reason that God won't. It's his righteousness. The verdict has been settled forever. Nothing David can do can change that. You say that's scandalous. And so it is. That's the gospel. And so he runs into the gospel tower. He remembers that God is utterly and completely for him. He can go to sleep. Have you ever thought in that moment when life was falling apart, the family is dysfunctional, things are not going well, God may not be for you? You can't go to sleep for sure. He is completely, utterly, totally sold out all the way in and never gives it a thought whether he should be or not. Isaiah 41:10 says this, fear thou not when you're trying to go to sleep or wake up in the morning. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. And that means three things in that context. I will strengthen you. Yeah, I will help thee. Yeah, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, right hand should be inserted in every way that God helps. It's his right hand of righteousness that gives strength. It's his right hand of righteousness that helps. It's his right hand of righteousness that upholds me. Now, right hand is clearly a hand of power. He has the power to help you, the power to strengthen you, and the power to sustain you. But righteousness, what does that mean? Similar terminology is used in the very next chapter in Isaiah 42, where the prophecy says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will hold your hand. I will keep you, which means I will uphold you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will give you as a covenant of the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Of course, Psalm 42 is about the coming servant, Jesus Christ. God holds our hand. God holds his hand. And God gives him for a covenant, which means to cut, a cutting. And we know that God held his hand all the way to Calvary and then gave him up for a slaughter in righteousness. He declared his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. That's David's right here. How? By being just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. God has settled the question of his righteousness. He didn't overlook David's bad fathering, Bathsheba moment, and all the things we know about David. In fact, they were charged to the very Messiah that David is trusting in. God is so completely and utterly for David in a righteous way. The verdict has been so settled that nothing can keep God from pursuing you with strength, help, mercy, grace, and upholding you all the days of your life. Friend, go to sleep. Go to sleep. Isn't that wonderful? There is no explanation why God would be this way toward the sinner David, except that God is an amazing God. Charles Wesley said, amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? I can't answer why he would die for you. I don't know why he died for you. And I certainly don't know why he died for me. There is no answer except amazing love. How can it be? David, with all his baggage, with life crumbling around him, says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou only, Lord, make me to dwell safely. It's God's righteousness that we run to. It's God, our Savior, that we come to. And Jesus, with open arms, receives us again and again and again, because that's the gospel. And He cleans us up, He forgives us, and He keeps receiving us.